I may not look like it, but I love fishing with an asterisk. As long as we are catching fish. Now, if I am in an environment where I am catching fish, I can stay there and I can fish for hours upon hours upon hours. But if we're not catching fish, honest to God, I had rather sit and watch paint dry than to fish when you're not catching fish. One of our church members who's in heaven today, Billy Boyd, he came up to me and Mr. Purvis one time, and Brother Mark, he says, "Hey, I want to do something good for the church staff. And I'm going to rent this I'm going to buy you guys this fishing extravaganza, and we're going to get a guide, and we're going to go fishing, and we're going to catch a lot of fish. Got to get up like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to drive down to wherever, and we're going to go fishing." And I was like, "That's cool. Does the guy know what he's doing?" Yeah, he does this. This is his living. I was like, "That's cool. Does the guy know what he's doing?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Are we going to catch fish?" "You're going to catch fish. You're going to catch a lot of fish." So sure enough, Mr. Purvis is there way before Brother Mark and I, and we're ready like at 2 o'clock, and we drive forever, or they drive forever, and Brother Mark and I are in the back seat, and we're just snoring and sleeping. We finally get there. We go out with Mr. Expert Guide. That's how many fish Brother Mark caught. That's how many fish I caught. That's how many fish Mr. Purvis caught. It was a miserable, horrible, awful, but I was very grateful that my buddy would pay for us to go on a sightseeing tour of some big lake, South Carolina or something. I love fishing. I get fired up to go fishing if we're catching fish. If we're not catching fish, I'd just soon stay home and clean toilets or something, really. I like fisher people. I'm trying to be politically correct, I would consider myself a fisher man or a fisher person, but I like catching fish. When we come to Luke chapter 5, it's a true fishing story. Now, a lot of times you don't get true fishing stories. This is a true fishing story. But it's a lot more than that. It's a story about Jesus. It's a story about life. It's a story about what's important in life. So this morning we're going to look at the great, humongous fishing story. Don't get caught up in all of the details of the fishing story that you miss Jesus and that you miss what life is all about. This morning, 3 truths about evangelism. Sermon's entitled, Fishing with Jesus. First truth, notice the call of the disciples, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So Jesus' public ministry, if you look throughout the Gospels, it involved teaching, it involved preaching, it involved healing. Jesus went around teaching what was right. He went around preaching what is true, and he went around healing what was wrong. Well, you say, what was Jesus teaching and what was he preaching? Well, if you look up to Luke chapter 4, verse 43, it tells us, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. So his mission, his mandate, the whole reason for existence was to tell people about the kingdom of God. Well, to make sure the crowds heard him, he notice verse 2, he comes up to Peter and he saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and he prayed him that he would thrust out from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So he gets into Peter's boat, and he says, hey, Let's push off a little bit from shore, and I'm going to teach this big crowd of people from the boat. And you say, why would he do that? Well, sound travels better and it travels farther over water than it does over land. So it was pure sound reasons that he did this. And also, I think it was maybe a test. Peter, can I use your boat here for a second? A lot of times Jesus will come to us and he will ask a little question. And if we are obedient in the little things, then he will give us greater responsibility. If Peter would have never said yes to Jesus using his boat, he would have never experienced the great catch of fish. And so it is with you. You have opportunities. You say, no, I'm not going to do it. No. That's fine. You're missing out on a blessing. This for Jesus thing, you say, no, that's for young people. It's not for young people, it's for all people. I'm not going to do it. You're missing out on a blessing. Look, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. So the last thing Peter wanted to hear was Jesus say, let's go catch some fish. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 2. They were washing their nets. It means their work was done. That means they were getting all of the sand and all of the pebbles and all of the junk out of the nets. They were going to let them dry and they were going to come back tomorrow because it had been an awful night. No catching fish. It was horrible. And Jesus says, let's go out into the deep and catch some fish. Notice Peter's objection, verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, it means teacher, it means captain. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Can you feel the discouragement in his voice? Can he feel the anguish in his voice? Can you hear the weariness in his voice? Jesus, it's been horrible. It was a long, long night. Jesus, we kept throwing that net and there was nothing in that net. Jesus, it's daytime now and fish at the Sea of Galilee. You don't fish in the day. No, they can see you throwing the net. And when they can see you throwing the net, they're going to go in the other direction. So Jesus, if we did not catch fish at night, we're not going to catch fish in the day. Jesus. No, please, no. Jesus, you tell us to launch out into the deep. That's not the way we do it around here. Where the streams run into the Sea of Galilee, that's where we go and fish, and we fish in the night because they can't see us. If you go out into the deep, we surely won't catch any fish. And Jesus, all of my fellow fishermen are going to know, what is that dude doing? Fishing in the middle of the day? Fishing out way out there in the deep, they're going to think I'm a nincompoop. Jesus, no, come on. No, Jesus, you're a carpenter. If we're talking construction, if we're talking noise, I'll listen to you. But Jesus, I am a fisherman. I know fishing and I know this sea. Jesus. Verse 5, we toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Now, Peter wants Jesus to jump in and say, I'm sorry, bad idea, just forget it all. Jesus crosses his arms, I imagine, and just looks at him. Hold on a second. How often do you do that with Jesus as well? God will nudge you and say, hey, go do this. Go speak to that person. Go! Do this kind deed for this person. Go sacrifice for this organization. And you say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Well, I know this and I understand this and I don't like this. And here's the reasons why I shouldn't do that. And we argue when Jesus tells us something. Look back at the verse. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter recognized the Savior. He calls him Master. He recognizes the barrenness of the situation. We've toiled all night. We are professionals in this category, but we're failures. He recognizes the situation, but he recognizes the Scripture, and he says, what God says is law. What God says is right. Who cares what I've been educated to believe? Who cares what I can figure out? If Jesus said it, it is done. True for them. Hold on a second. It's true in your life as well. A lot of times we have it all calculated and we have it all figured out and all, gee, no, no, no. Here's the reason why what you want me to do won't work, God. And God says, no, hold on a second. I am God, you're not. Just do what I said. That's what Peter does. Notice the phrase, nevertheless, at thy word. It was his word that caused the worlds to be formed. It was his word that caused the dead to be raised. It was his word that caused the demons to flee. It was his word, at his word, that the storms just ceased. It was at his word that disease departed. It was at his word that the water turned into wine. It was at his word that the bread would multiply and multiply and multiply. And Peter was fixing to learn, it was at his word that fish would be summoned to their net. Listen, the call of Jesus. Friend, listen to me. He's calling you. The nurse, the truck driver, the carpenter, the plumber, he's calling you. And you're saying, no, I'm not gifted and I'm not talented and I'm not qualified. No. God doesn't make mistakes. You who work at Pfizer or work at Energizer or work wherever you work, Jesus is calling you. You're going to argue, or you're going to say, nevertheless, at thy word, the call of the disciples. Secondly, notice the conquest of the disciples. Verse 4. He left speaking. He said, Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Don't miss this statement. Jesus never does by miracle what we can do by muscle. They had to launch out into the deep. Those nets weighed hundreds of pounds. Oh, Jesus, it's hot. Oh, Jesus, we're sweating. Oh, Jesus, these nets are wet now. You want us to start throwing them out again and throwing them out again and throwing them out again? Oh, Jesus. Listen. If you want a miracle, you always have to take the first step. Jesus will give you his word, but his word requires human obedience. You got to say, okay, I'm taking your word to my life. I'm taking to your word to my heart, and I will respond based upon what you said. Look what happens next, verse 6. And when they had done this, or this done, the King James said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Now, a fishing boat in this time period, we got a picture of it up there, 7.5 feet wide, probably 27 feet long. So their boat was filled with tons of fish. Look on the verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and they should help him. And they came and filled both ships so that they both were sinking. First time in history, this was the biggest catch they had ever made. This was the most fish that had ever been caught on that Sea of Galilee. And this was probably the first time that fishermen had been honest we caught this many fish and they were that big. And they said, no. Oh yeah, ask Jesus. He was there. He can tell you. The conquest of the disciples. Imagine how old Simon Peter must have felt. Seeing all those fish. Jesus, you're good. Jesus, I already got the boats. Jesus, I already got the nets. All I need is the navigation. All I need is somebody that has the word that can attract my little bait. There's not attracting the fish. But Jesus, you have the power. We could go into business together. Hey, we could start up a bunch of restaurants and we could call it Long John Savior. Come on. We could call it Captain J's. We could call it Jesus and Lobster. Come on. Let's go into business together. Jesus, imagine what Peter was thinking. And then it must have hit him. Jesus is a poor carpenter. Jesus doesn't even have a house or a place to lay his head. Jesus is not concerned so much about business and profits and even fish. Jesus is here because he's concerned about me. And in the midst of two overloaded boats with a lot of profit, Peter gets it, verse 8. Simon Peter saw, see that next two-letter word, it. He saw the fish. I think for the first time he saw the mission. And listen to me. Do you see your mission? See, a lot of us see our mission as, oh, let's get all the stuff that we can get. Let's get all the toys that we can get. Let's get the bigger house and the nicer car and let's get some fresh new duds. That's our mission, to get all the toys we can and to can them and to sit on the can. That's what we want to do. Peter saw it. It's not about your job. It's about the mission. Look on in the verse. He fell down at Jesus' knee saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Anytime you recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ, you're going to recognize the sinfulness of your own ways. Depart from me, Jesus. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. No. I'm sinful. I'm living for stuff. I'm living for earthly values and not eternal values. Depart from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Listen, we all have to have jobs. We all have to provide for our families. There's nothing wrong with that. It's right to do that. What's wrong is when we're not living for eternity, we're living for everything earthly. Do you see it? Peter that day, he got it. Look at verse 9. He was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken, Peter saw something astonishing. You know what he saw? It wasn't just fish. It was the power of God. Friend, that's what you need to say. And that's what you need to see in your scenario. Some of us, we're seeing the problems. We're seeing the difficulties. Oh, that person I work with and that person I live right beside or live around or that person that's my family member, oh, they're a hard case. You're looking at the earthly. He was astonished at the power of God. Listen, he never would have seen it unless he would have responded to God's word. And you never will see it either unless you respond to God's word as well. The conquest of the disciples. Thirdly, the commitment of the disciples. Look at verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Seven times in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "Fear not," or "do not be afraid." He tells Peter, "Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful." This taking steps and saying, "Okay, I'm going to live for eternal things and not just for earthly things. Don't be fearful. Don't start playing the what if. Well, what happens to this and what happens to this and what happens to this scenario? No, 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 no. Don't be afraid. Just trust me." Notice what Peter says. "Depart from me." Jesus comes and said, "No, no, 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 no. I don't want you to depart from me. I want you to follow me." "Peter, you recognize your sinfulness and you recognize my lordship. Now, I don't want you far away from me. I want you close to me and let's work together." Hey, when you recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ, you're never in a better shape to serve him than in that recognition. When you're living for me, "Oh, it's all about me and me and me and I'm my own boss and I do my own thing and I'm just going to make me happy." No, no, no. You're not ready to serve Jesus. But when you see Jesus high and lifted up, he is the one. You say, "Oh, I'm not good enough and I'm not qualified and I'm not smart enough and I'm not rich enough." Jesus says, "No, no, no, no. Now you're ready because you recognize who I am. You're ready to come and follow and serve me." Look on, look, look, look on verse 10. Partners with Simon, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." This was the biggest catch they ever had. This was the most profit they ever had. This would have brought a boatload of money at the market. No doubt they could have said, "Okay, if we can do this about seven or eight more times, okay, then our bank account will be padded. Then we can afford to go serve Jesus." What's this? "Thou shalt catch men." Leave the fishing behind. Verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. Wait a minute. You are going to auction off the boats. You are going to auction off the nets. I mean, those are expensive nets. You are going to... They just abandoned them is what the word means. How are they going to make it? The fish caller. The guy that got them the great boatload of fish was going to provide all of their needs. You say, "Preacher, if I start living for eternal values, it's probably going to hurt my business. It's probably going to hurt our income. How will we ever make it?" That guy who died on the cross as your substitute and as your Savior. They forsook all. And it says, followed him. To follow means you're not in charge. To follow means you're not leading. To follow means you're not holding the reins. To follow means, "Jesus, wherever you lead, I'm going." Friend, listen to me. God wants to do big time things with you and your life and your gifts and your abilities. Will you just say, "God, I'm all in. I'm putting nothing before you. You're my number one priority and I'm going to follow you and sacrifice everything for you." That's the decision today. Hey, yeah, I'll do some evangelistic outreach, serving for Jesus on the 20, whatever it is. I'll do that. But more importantly than that, Jesus, I'm just going to be your follower. Jesus, I want to forsake all. You're going to be number one. You're not going to be number five on my list. You are number one, and I'm following wholeheartedly after you. Got a text on Tuesday from a church member. This is what she said. Pastor, as I write to you these words, tears are running down my cheek. You've been honest pretty hard about standing up and speaking up for Jesus. Today, I stood up and spoke up for Jesus 8 times. And I've never had a better day in my life. Friend, listen to me. That is available to you. Jesus says, I will give you the power. I will give you the words. You say, I don't know what to say. He'll tell you what to say. You just got to say, okay, Jesus, if you tell me to go and speak up, I'll go awkwardly and I'll just do what you say. Hey, Peter was mumbling and grumbling. It's not a good idea. I don't like this. They're going to think I'm a brain donor. He did what Jesus said. And he never got over it. Never, ever, ever. He was telling his great-grandkids about this story. This, and I'm done. Tracy and I are eating Friday, Tori, in the world-famous restaurant called the Stockyard of Siler City. They have the best hamburgers in all the world, and Tracy and I are eating there. A guy comes up to us, and he's had some issues in his life. He had a bad accident. And he handed me this little money case. It says, Jesus saves, he's coming soon, and the back says, are you ready? And thankfully, he put a quarter inside of it. So I was talking to it. Stockyard, grease flying through the air, cows mooing, the smell, Tracy hates this place, the smell, it wasn't Valentine's, the smell was just exhilarating. I asked him this question, how many of those things have you passed out? He said, I keep track of every one of them, I'm over 30,000. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have my hearing aid in. How many do you have you if you've given these out? He said, I'm over 30,000. I said, hold on a second. Did they all have a quarter in it? He said, every one of them. Why would you do that? Jesus saves. He's coming soon. I want everybody to be ready. If he can do that for Jesus, why can't you do something for Jesus? You say, what am I supposed to do? Here's what you're supposed to do. Exactly what God lays upon your heart. And do it with all your might. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer.